Welcome to the Active Campaign Podcast, where it's all about marketing automation for your small business so you can get more done with less time. Find all the latest tips, tricks, and strategies in our ever-growing education center at activecampaign.com/learn. And now our host, the Director of Education at Active Campaign, Chris Davis.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Active Campaign Podcast. I have with me today Barbara Turley of thevirtualhub.com. And this episode, we're going to talk about that addition to your business that if you don't know you need one by now, just wait, because the time will come where you will definitely need an extra set of hands. And speaking of those extra set of hands, when it's digital marketing, it is very, very hard to find qualified, or I should say precise expertise of people who understand not only the multiple tools that there are to use, but how to match those tools with your specific business needs. And this person, the set of hands that I'm talking about, virtual assistants. Those of you who have one probably have war stories. Those of you who don't have one are probably afraid of hiring one. So I have with me Barbara. She is the CEO of thevirtualhub.com, where she trains virtual assistants specific to the digital marketing space in various platforms. Barbara, how are you doing?
Great, Chris. Thank you so much for that intro. I love the war stories part. We get that all the time.
Yes. You can't be a consultant in digital marketing without coming across a virtual assistant for a client. You know, you meet a client and they have a virtual assistant who they're just above their expertise. Like what they're trying to do or what they need to do for the client, it's just way above their pay grade. They're overextended and they're all over the
overwhelmed
place.
You know, yes. Very common problem. Yeah. On both sides, actually, you know, we hear war stories from the virtual assistant side, but also from the client side.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, as a consultant myself, I spent many years just one-on-one consultations with small business owners. And one of the things that I found, Barbara, and this is essentially probably why you even exist, is, you know, what I like to do up front is get everybody on the phone. Say, hey, let's everybody meet each other, find out, you know, like let's talk about what we're doing, what areas are being covered and what areas need to be covered so there's no overlap. And for you, I was excited to have you on, by the way, everybody, Janet Cafadar. Does she use you? I can't remember the story.
She does. Yes. So Janet, and I've actually worked quite closely with her, and we've actually become very good friends through the process. But she's built a solid business with some of our team.
Absolutely. And she was on our podcast. It was one of the most highly talked about podcasts within the community because it gave a really good example of how to effectively remove yourself from the business for everybody. That is episode number 37, if you want to search for it. So we connected, and Barbara, I can't explain how excited I am just to kind of hear your story and your process, and just give the listeners some good insight on how should they be approaching hiring a virtual assistant in the digital marketing age.
Great. Delighted to share.
Yes. Yeah, so what's your background, Barbara? Where did you come from?
Yeah, so this is interesting because you'd probably think that I would have come out of a digital marketing or even marketing sort of background, but I actually didn't. I came out of the investment banking world.
Oh, wow.
So I had a 15-year career in investment banking, banks like Merrill Lynch, UBS, you know, so totally different area. But I always had a kind of a burning desire to start my own business. And long story short, I got involved in a management buyout of a business from Deutsche Bank about 8 years ago with a group of other people. Mm-hmm. And it was in the depths of the financial crisis, but it was a chance for me to sort of get involved in a startup operation, but not by myself. And I spent 5 years actually working in the company as an employee, as well as being a founding shareholder. Mm-hmm. And I learned an incredible amount about, you know, about getting something off the ground, systemization, teams, sales, how to kind of build a machine, basically.
Wow.
So when I came to build my own business, I immediately knew the power of having an assistant, and I knew that I could get someone offshore in the Philippines. So I had a VA myself. Now, I don't know whether I just got lucky or whether I was actually just very good at making it work, but I had a great relationship with my VA. And then, you know, I started doing some business consulting, as we all do when we leave big corporate. That's the fastest route to cash, is to do some consulting. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much noticed every client, regardless of industry, what they were doing, industry, product, service, etc., all had the same problem. They had no time. They were doing everything themselves, running themselves ragged, never able to take a holiday, completely overwhelmed, and nothing was really actually getting done. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you would see that as a consultant as well. Mm-hmm. So I started recruiting some virtual assistants in the Philippines to just not even as a business, but just to kind of alleviate the pressure points so that the client and I could start working on strategy properly. And before I knew it, I was just getting flooded with phone calls from friends of clients saying, can you get me one of those VAs? And there was one day I was on holiday and I said to myself, I wonder, is there a business in this? So I did a webinar. I just jumped online. I launched a webinar. It was the most successful one I had ever done. And I had never really done a successful one prior. Mm. And I got 10 buyers and we were in business. It was like overnight I pivoted massively. And we are 3.5 years later now, and we have 70 people in the Philippines.
I love it. And the good thing about it is you didn't fabricate demand.
No.
And a lot of people do that, right? They get an idea and they just think that people want it. They're like, hey, yeah, this is a good idea. People will buy this. And they fabricate the reality.
I know the biggest business tip I give anyone. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I even knew this. I heard it before, this business for me. And you kind of know it, but until you feel it, you don't get the essence of it. You have to have a product or service that people will literally fall over themselves to buy from you. They will pay money to buy from you today. So it's a problem that they will pay money to solve today, not at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. So I just discovered an acute pain point, and I did it because I was consulting. So I always say to a lot of startup businesses, go out and talk to customers and unearth the pain that they have in this exact moment. Yeah. And that's where you'll sell like mad if you can solve the problem.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, if you want to be like, if you want to put on the persona that you know everything, right? When people ask you, what should I do? You try to answer that question. And time has taught me that the answer to that question does not exist outside of your business. People can give you pointers, but when you need direction as far as what product should I offer, you know, what should I do next? Talk to your people.
Yes. and just talk to them about nothing. Don't go in with a preconceived idea. Go in and just ask. And actually, this was something I learned in the in my old career where I was talking to financial planners and investment committees about, we were trying to sell investment products, basically. But how we would approach it is we would go in and try and find like where was the problem? We didn't know what it was until we would actually go in and deeply diagnose by asking questions.
That's it.
And then you discover the problem, and that's how you sell into it then.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's worth highlighting that you mentioned is don't go in with your bias. Don't go in trying to confirm an idea. Like, go in open-minded and truly have a conversation with your audience and see what is it that you can offer to alleviate whatever pain is pressing at that moment, right?
Absolutely, yes.
That's great advice. Absolutely. Great advice, Barbara. So tell me this. You said you have over 70?
Yes.
Okay, so just
And you know, Chris, honestly, I could have 200 right now with the growth, the way the business grew. But I'll be honest with you, the first year was an absolute disaster.
Barbara. I am very intrigued now. If the Barbara of today were assessing Barbara of the past who had that disaster, what would it be that you could pinpoint, if it was like the top three things that you could pinpoint that you did wrong that led to that?
Again, I went in going, great, everyone needs a VA. Mm. But I made an assumption that everybody knows how to delegate. I would say 50% of people have the capacity to learn how to delegate. Most people don't actually know that it's a skill that you need to learn and master. So a lot of the clients that we had coming in, so that was on the client side. A lot of clients we had coming in just completely failed. Like it was, now Janet Cavender was one of our massive success stories from day one. So she was way back then, but the majority of them failed. And they blamed us and the VAs, and it was very stressful. I mean, I just found it, I was so irritated by the whole thing. But on the VA side as well, I started to see the problem on that side. I was like, okay, these people are coming in. They're great. They want to do a good job, but they really have no clue. They've sort of got resumes that say they've got all this experience, but really, they really don't know what they're doing. They need training. They have no idea how to communicate back to a client and how to, you know, so the whole chain of communication was a massive problem, and education. So then I kind of ripped it apart. I literally fired about 70% of the people. I got rid of loads. I actually fired clients as well, I will be honest. We just kind of stripped it all back. And I almost thought, well, I give this up. And then I thought, no, I've got a few key clients, Janet being one of them, who came to me and said, you have built something really powerful here. You need to keep going. So I rebuilt it. I built an onboarding process for clients, which was a deep, not a deep training program, but a simple training program to show them simply using tools like Asana. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you create a recurring task list? How do you write a task so that it can be delegated effectively? How do you create processes and systems so that you can offload things and, you know, not be doing it yourself, but not lose control?
Yeah.
And then on the VA, I mean, that's just a very brief example, but on the VA side, we built a deep training program and we started making them go through training for like 2, 3, 4 weeks before we even would let them meet a client. And that served two purposes. It meant that we could control the training and we developed all of our own step-by-step processes for social media, webinar setups, all this stuff. And we gave them to the client and we trained the VA in them. But it also allowed us to see the whites of the eyes of the VAs coming through, because you can't hide for a month in intensive training programs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be doing funny business and being slippery and saying you're there and then you're not, which VAs are common. That's some of the war stories.
Mm.
So it led to us, the success exploding in the second year. But like everything, it unearthed another problem. So we realized then that our target client was probably the wrong client, because we had a little bit too much churn on the client side. And on the VA side, we weren't, you know, people were leaving for various reasons. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people we had coming, the clients we had, some of them had major, look, they were very startup, they were very early stage, and they really couldn't, they would cancel because of cash flow issues and they were running out of money, and they were all doing product launches that were failing, not all of them, but some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And on the VA side, you know, look, I realized that we needed to grow up as a company in the Philippines. So I kind of, my team on the ground there, I had deep meetings with them about what people want over there. They want security, they want benefits, they want career development. So I actually went over there and I launched a company. I actually set up a company in the Philippines. And today, every one of our people is a full employee of our company there. We pay their healthcare, we pay their pension,
wow.
We take care of their family, we make sure that they get bonus structures. You know, we've built a powerhouse company now that people want to get into as opposed to are leaving.
Yeah.
Client side, we've started, we niched. That was the other thing we did. We niched heavily into digital because we found we were getting more success in that area. And particularly with platforms like ActiveCampaign, we've got a lot of clients that use ActiveCampaign. And we've built our own in-house training programs that are specifically for VAs, because it's slightly different teaching a VA, to use these platforms so that they, when they hit the client's business, they're not able to hit the ground running totally, but like almost they're 90% there. And then we back them up with help desks. We've got success coaches. So we've built a kind of a, what I believe is a very scalable model, and something where our success rate is very high now.
Beautiful.
We hardly ever lose a client now.
Beautiful. And if I heard this correctly and just summarized it, the biggest mistake was just getting ahead of yourself, right? Saying, hey, I'm a trained VAs. And in doing that, you're like, oh, wait a minute. Delegation is a thing. Like this
you only discover those things. You know, the lessons I've learned is that you can try and get ahead of your thinking.
Yeah.
But you don't know the problems that are going to evolve, and you don't know that. So you deal with you build a solution for the first problem that you found, which is, you know, I saw people had no time. I was like, yay, VAs, cool, great solution. Then I was like, oh, there's another problem. Then I built a program for that. And then, you know, so, and I was like, oh, that's another problem.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure I'm going to have more.
Right.
But at the moment,
because you're just, you know, you're just digging deeper and deeper, Barbara. Like, as you're talking, you start out, like you said, everybody starts out with that initial problem. And I think most people, the issue is they just don't dig deep enough. Right.
If you want to build a powerhouse business, if you want to build a huge business that is a powerhouse business, you need to focus on continually getting feedback from your customer and asking them, where is the pain? So we ask our customers all the time. Like we have very active feedback programs. We've got a happiness meter on the end of every email where they can say, you guys are awesome, you guys are terrible. And we ask them, we say, like, tell us so that we can fix it. Let us fix it.
Yeah. And you know what? Another thing that stands out as far as what you're doing right for your business. And, you know, we talked about getting ahead of yourself and the complications of that. But you really invested into your audience, which is your VAs. You've invested and you dug deep with them to understand their needs specific to their geographic location. Say, okay, listen, I want to provide a service to you all as well. Right. And you created a win-win. Having healthcare in the Philippines is huge. And I don't know if anybody listening has ever used a VA from the Philippines, but a little bit of US dollars goes a long way there.
Yes. But for healthcare is very expensive. I was actually, I almost fell off my chair when I saw the cost. It's almost the same as me paying for healthcare for myself in Australia.
Oh my gosh.
Per head.
It's crazy.
So we did that, as a, you know, and I mean, I basically took a lot of the profit that I made in those first 2 years and I gave it back to the Philippines.
Beautiful.
But it's because I want to, I'm just so passionate about this topic and I can see the overwhelm that clients are going through.
And you're thinking long, right? You're not thinking short. You're not thinking right now in 2 years. You're thinking long. Down the line, I bet it feels like you're really just getting started, right? Getting your wind under you. And that's great because you have to. I feel like if you want the best out of somebody, they have to know that you're equally invested in them.
Absolutely. Right? And just asking people, as you said, like, you've got to get on the phone and have find some way of gathering feedback. So we even say to the VAs, we go, we've got a very open culture, which is hard to build in the Philippines because they're not that open as a culture. They'd find it hard to speak truth with Westerners. But we've managed to create a culture where I've even said to them, if you dislike your client or someone is, you feel overwhelmed or you just don't like that work or whatever, you can come and talk to us and we will move things around. We'll, you know, maybe there's a better fit for that client and we do the same with clients. We say, you know, if it's not a good fit, don't just cancel, like, let us work with you. We've got other people, you know.
That's great. I mean, these are real issues in business that people are facing and don't know how to solve, right? Like, it's everybody's nightmare for one day they wake up and realize either A, their VA isn't who they thought they were, but they can't replace them because they don't know anything else, right? Or B, just the fact that, oh my gosh, if my VA leaves, I'm toast. Like, I have no they know everything. And so having a company like yourself that can say, hey, look, we've got more where that came from, right? Like, rest assured, we've got your back.
If someone leaves or a VA, because sometimes they get promoted or, you know, they may have another client that wanted them to go full time or something. And we say to the client, don't worry, because what we do, we'll typically put one of my team in. Like, if there's a transition period, we give the client two VAs for probably like 6 to 8 weeks. And the first VA will train the second VA. And when we're clean, when we say, right, we're ready, we do the transition. So we say to the client, we try and take as much of the load off you as possible of transitioning a VA. And we help you to get set up in the first place with your processes and your systems and making sure that your business is set up effectively so that one admin person leaving doesn't collapse your business. Because that's like, forget the VA thing. That's like a whole business risk.
Absolutely.
That you don't want to have. So we try and help. And we're just building more and more. There's more videos we need to do and, you know, to help clients more, even more.
Yeah. So for the VAs listening or the aspiring VAs listening, Barbara, are you just in the Philippines or do you take VAs and train VAs around the world?
Look, we're in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. The model that we have right now is we're committed to there. We have had a few people from India and approach us, etc. And at this stage, we're just in the Philippines. I'll be open and say we've just managed to nail it there. And I don't think I could personally take on another country right now because it is very difficult to get it right. I have a few gray hairs from doing this.
Yeah. And what's beautiful about it, Barbara, I love this answer so much, is because you said, I'm dedicated to the Philippines. And in saying that, now, let's back up. You're on a podcast. Who knows how many ears will listen to this podcast, right? Now and in the future. So there's a temptation to be like, oh, hey, anybody can be a VA. Our training is universal, right? But you learned. You've been there, done that.
I've thought about launching the training program mm-hmm. as a separate entity where VAs can sort of come and get certified. Mm-hmm. But we're not, you know, again, we're just not, part of me is not doing that because I think, you know what, our core, it's like we get asked, you know, can you do bookkeepers and accounting? And we go, no, we do digital marketing, general admin and platforms like Active Campaign. So, you know, funnel builds and things like that.
Yes.
We're very specific about what we do. And the minute I got more specific about who we hire, mm-hmm. what our ideal client is and what we actually do, the business started doing an awful lot better.
That's
so it's like the core business is VAs in this area.
I love it.
In the Philippines.
I love it. The marketing mathematics tells you that the smaller you go, the bigger you get.
Yeah.
Right.
Less stress because if I was to launch all over the place, I have a 15 month old baby. So mm-hmm. I also had a baby. I need the women listening out there. You can do it. I'm not superwoman, but I like to have my free time too. I actually, I'm very committed to my own well-being and not being overwhelmed myself.
That's important because we all want to run businesses like that. And for you, what I really love beyond just the dedication is your appreciation for systemizing, right? Understanding how important it is to document those processes and then systemize them so that you can easily train and get other people up to speed. And then they can go and do the same thing for these other businesses.
Absolutely. And, you know, we always say as well, people always say to me, are you not afraid of automation coming in, bots and things and all these, you know, the new bots that are out there? And I say, no, we welcome that because what we're trying to say to clients is first figure out what is your task list? What does your business look like? What keeps the engine running? What's your project mm-hmm. list? What moves it forward? Then let's figure out what do we eliminate? Like what are the useless tasks that really shouldn't be done? Then what do we automate? Because as you know, we can automate a lot of stuff that people are doing. Like people are still doing getting VAs to book calendars for them.
Wow.
I'm like, you know, there's Calendly, you know, there's all these, you can integrate it on your site. We do all of that stuff. So we figure all that stuff out. And then you get your VA doing the more high value stuff. So, you know, there's always the stuff to delegate at the end. And then make sure there's a feedback loop where that VA or your team can give feedback to you on their experience of doing a process because maybe they've got a better way of doing it or maybe it's too clunky.
Yeah.
Or if mistakes are happening, there's probably holes in the process. So don't shoot the person first. Check the process.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay, so for the clients listening and they're hearing this and they're like, "You know what? I think I may want to give this a try. This sounds exactly like what I was looking for." What is the onboarding process like? Do they just go to thevirtualhub.com and say, "Hey, I want a VA," and then you assign them a VA and all is well? Like what is that process like?
No, so it's a bit quite lengthy. So we won't just, you know, "Hey, VA tomorrow."
Yeah.
We do make people come through an onboarding process with us, which people actually love. The feedback is that they love it and they're like, oh, before. And then they go through it and go, oh, now I know why I have to do that. Mm. So first you have a call. You don't have a call with me. Used to be me, but I've got two great strategy consultants, one in Australia and one in Ireland, so that we can do US time zones and all that as well. So all the US guys, we totally cover your time zone. Jump on a call with one of our guys and they help you to figure out firstly, is a VA what you need? Because we don't want you coming in. We're going to help you first figure out, is a VA what you need right now? Because sometimes a VA is not what somebody needs yet. Mm. You may need a strategist first, or you may need something else. If it's a VA, are we the right fit for you? Is what we do suitable for what your needs are? So it's very valuable, that call, because they really, really help you to figure that out. Okay. Then when you come in, there is a bit of a, there's a commitment fee, but it's $240. So it's just for you to kind of put your stake in the ground and for us to go, okay, we're going to go ahead for you and start training. Then we put you through our short 3 or 4 part video series where it helps you to get Asana set up if that's what you're going to use, or Trello or one of these project management tools, get your task list sorted out. And then we invite you to meet some of our candidates. And usually you get to meet three people. One of our team, our client liaison manager, is on the call with you on the interviews, so you get to chat with them. Our master trainer attends the interviews as well, so he can give you insights into what were the strengths of these people through the big training programs. So you get to chat with some of our team, and people love that. Great. Then when you choose your person you want to work with, usually most people choose in that first round. Then we do a client onboarding call where we take you through how our business works, you know, how to engage with us, our membership site, where to find everything, tips and tricks, etc. And then you kind of start with your VA. And after that, we have check-in calls, usually about every, we don't do them very often. In the beginning, it's probably every 6 weeks, and then it moves out to kind of quarterly on a needs basis. And we invite feedback every week for the first 6 weeks, and then we move to monthly thereafter. So it's quite a, it's an ongoing process of training and engagement, and the whole way. You get to meet a lot of our team.
Nice. And I would imagine as people have gone through that entire process, the retention of your client and the VA that you've matched them with is probably pretty high.
Yes, it's very high. Yeah. The ones that, I'll be honest with you, the ones that are tricky are we do a level one VA, which is an admin VA. Mm-hmm. Those ones tend to be tricky. I'll tell you why. It's because we don't control the training for that. Mm. We train on general admin stuff, but when they go into the client's business, often there's a kind of a mismatch of what needs to be done, or there's, you know, the client maybe is not totally sure of how their process works. Whereas when we move into social media and stuff like that, the processes are quite developed for those things. So we get more success on those ones, actually, higher success rates.
Interesting. Okay. Mm. Cool. No, this is all great information. And what would you say, you know, in closing up here, if you were, in all of your experience with what you've seen as far as training, onboarding, clients, matching, growing businesses, you mentioned earlier that sometimes your VAs go and get hired full time, which is amazing. What would you say are any pointers you would give a client to help them identify when they need a VA?
Yeah, that's a good question. Look, I mean, I'm not going to say this because I obviously, you know, sell the whole concept of VAs, but I mm-hmm. got a VA from day one, right? So I got one on day one of business. Now, not everyone is ready for that. But the reason I did is because anyone in business these days, and most of the people listening to this podcast, are doing online something, right? You've got an online strategy.
Yeah.
If you're spending your day building social media images and, you know, Canva things and all that stuff, right, you're really wasting your time. And you need to have a look at what business that you're actually in, because you're doing busy work and you're not really getting after sales. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, when you start a business, you need to be about selling. So if you're happy to not have an online presence yet and just get out and do a beta program, like if you want to launch programs and stuff, my advice, I mean, I did this, I made this mistake myself. I had the VA, I launched a massive program, spent a whole pile of money on membership sites and everything. And honestly, it kind of bombed. Like it was one of those like tragic moments in my life of going, what did I do? And in hindsight, I should have just gotten 10 people that were interested in what I was doing and ran a Skype group of a kind of live training to see would people buy it.
Yeah.
So in terms of VAs, you know, if you're willing to go that route of just kind of rolling your sleeves up and getting sales and forgetting about all the other stuff in the background, you don't need a VA yet. But But if you want to have a social media presence and you want to have your website running nice and you want to be blogging and all these things, there's an awful lot of work to be done in the background that's going to tie up your time. And that's probably an idea to think about a VA. But when you really need one, yeah, I think sooner rather than later, don't wait until the sales are flooding through the door before you get like an active campaign or a VA, because then you've got to implement these things and they're going to slow you down massively.
Yeah. And I would imagine you would want your VA to grow with you.
Yes. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
As your strategy evolves and all of that, you will want your VA to kind of go through those experiences with you.
Now, the challenge then is people usually come to us, and some people listening will want this as well. Some people come and say, oh, look, I only have about 5 hours a week. And now I will be honest, we do a minimum of 20 hours a week. That's mm-hmm. because of what we do in the Philippines. So we're part time. That's the business that we have.
Great.
I have a podcast called The Virtual Success Show, where we actually delve into all of these questions we've gone through. And one of the shows is Think You've Only Got 5 Hours a Week to Delegate, Think Again. And it's basically getting people into a growth mindset of saying, if you're committing to this business, you need to just think a bit more, like you said, the long game. Yeah. So some people can't afford it and that's fine, but you really got to think about it strategically, because anyone you hire for 3, 4, 5 weeks of hours a week is not really committed to your business. They're freelancers that are going to have about 10 of those. And that's why they do disappearing acts.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point, Barbara. That is a great point.
And you think, oh, well, when I'm ready, I'll take her on another 10 and then we'll move up. And you're like, well, hold on a sec. There could be another client out there that's going to whip them up full time.
You're right. It reminds me, I watch Shark Tank, and sometimes the entrepreneur will be like, and I'm giving you 1% of my business. And the shark is like, that's not even enough to get me excited. Like, I can't commit to just one. I want more. And you have to think of it the same way with the VAs. It's like 5 hours. Okay, that's cool, but that's not enough to really get me motivated to, you know, like do more and more for you. Give me some more hours and you'll see a total different outcome.
Yeah, and use one of those hours every week to have a solid meeting about the future of the business and the future of their career.
Wow.
You know, think about that perspective. That's why we've got success, because that's what we focus on.
We're to our end point, but it's worth stating, we have to think bigger. I think the thing that technology does in a good way is it enables us to reach more people, right? It enables us to operate like a bigger company at a lower cost, right? As technology evolves and the cost lowers. However, in that, it's so easy to get caught up doing stuff. Like you said, if you spend 5 hours that week, maybe you're like, oh, well, it was just a 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. But if it totaled 5 hours and you spent that doing Canva work.
Spend it with your kids.
Right.
Spend it with your partner.
Exactly. Take 2 of those hours and instruct your VA what to do. And now you've got 3 hours to spend with whoever. Your business is still growing. And like you said, your kids, your spouse, your partner, whoever is better off. You're all better off for it. Right.
Yeah. And look, you know, as my final tip, sales solves everything. Mm-hmm. Get out. It's selling. You got to always be selling.
Always be selling.
In business, you're in the business of sales. And that's kind of, you don't have to be doing it yourself. But, you know, there's obviously online ways and all that. But you just need to be, you're selling. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Barbara, I want to thank you. This has been great, great, great info. As I mentioned, I was excited because we see it as a company. Our people who are clients that use our software, they need VAs. And very rarely do we come across an account who has a VA that really knows what they're doing. Like I said, most of the time, the VA, they're just over their head. It's just like, oh, my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. How do I build this out? So knowing that there's a company like yours out there that does some serious training and vetting on tools like ActiveCampaign, and you're not limited to just ActiveCampaign. You guys train on all of the platforms that also integrate with ActiveCampaign as well.
Yes. So Zapier, the Zapier stuff that we do, that's actually not that hard to do. We do a lot of that.
Yep.
You know, obviously you may get to a level that's quite tech, but you know, we can do most of it.
Yep. Yep. So from ActiveCampaign to you, we appreciate your service and all that you're doing. I know everybody in Singapore that is a VA and in your program and family members of those in your program are better off because of it. And as from one business owner to the next, I want to thank you for setting the example of what it takes to really grow a business. That's think bigger, stop doing everything, and dig deep and always be selling.
Yes. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Yes, it was great, Barbara. So, yes, thank you for thank you for everything. Best of continued success to you and all that you do. And if people want to follow up with you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Best thing to do, jump on thevirtualhub.com and hit the talk to us button, and you'll go straight in there to talk to one of our guys. If you want to connect with me personally, LinkedIn is the best way to find me. Jump on LinkedIn and even Google Barbara Turley, you'll find me there.
Great, great. And everybody, all the links will be in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, Barbara, and I'll see you online. Thank you for listening to another episode. This one was great to record because, as I mentioned in the beginning, it talks about that extra set of hands that it's not always clear when you need them and where to find them. But I want to challenge all of you listeners to really start thinking differently about your business. Look at yourself as the manager and owner of the business more so than the doer. And I know it's hard because sometimes it takes more to explain to somebody what to do than you just doing it yourself. So I understand that. And I know good help is hard to find. And hopefully after listening to this podcast, you have a better appreciation of the power of sitting down, systemizing, mapping out the processes so that you're getting your business ready for delegation and someone else to run it for you without losing revenue, right? You don't have to be doing everything for your business to grow. And if your business requires you to do everything for it to grow, we can all argue that perhaps you're taking the wrong approach. So hopefully after this episode, things are a bit more clear when it comes to getting those extra set of hands, where to get them from, and the importance of it. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, please do so now. We are in iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere that you can subscribe to a podcast, we're there. So those of you who are subscribed and my new listeners, go and leave us a 5-star rating. Please spread the word. Let people know this podcast is out there. It's for you all. If there's ever a topic or if you like to be on the podcast, you can visit activecampaign.com/podcast and there'll be a link to be a guest. Just click on that link and you can appear on the podcast. You can even refer someone else to appear on the podcast. If you are struggling in ActiveCampaign, somehow we have a plethora of resources for you. The first and foremost, I would offer or I would recommend you jump on a one-on-one call. ActiveCampaign.com/training. Jump on a one-on-one call and talk to somebody live and in person over the phone about your specific needs. And if you're more of a self-learner, self-starter, hey, I'd like to figure it out on my own, ActiveCampaign.com/learn is the education center where you can search and find any content around marketing automation and ActiveCampaign to help. All right. This is the ActiveCampaign podcast, the small business podcast to help you scale and propel your business with automation. I'll see you on the next episode.